Next on our show, we celebrate St. Patrick's Day with a special feature. Our colleague from the Hristobotev program of the Bulgarian National Radio, Astia Janeva, talks to the ambassador of Ireland to Bulgaria, Mr. John Biga, about his first impressions of this country, the similarity between Bulgarians and Irish, and what he likes in Bulgarian traditions. His Excellency Ambassador John Biga, who is also the Irish ambassador to Bulgaria and ambassador to Armenia and Georgia, where there is no embassy of the Republic, he has been living in Sofia with his family since October 2013. According to the embassy, about 3,000 Bulgarians live in the Republic of Ireland and 25,000 Irish nationals have bought properties in this country, mainly along the Black Sea coast. Small Ireland is the home to nearly 4.5 million people, and people around the world with an Irish passport are over 40 million. Today, on the day in St. Patrick, Ireland's National Day, the Sydney Opera House, the Statue of Christ and Great Wall of China will be illuminated in green lights. And besides Ireland, processions dedicated to the holiday will be held in New York, Moscow, Beijing, Berlin and other cities. For the first time this year, a Bulgarian town will honor the feast of St. Patrick. This is the small town of Cepelare in the Rodopi Mountain, where for more than 20 years there are special friendly relations between locals and Irish people who each year go skiing there. The municipal hall of Cepelare will be illuminated in green on the evening of March the 17th. Let's hear next an interview with John Bigger.
About Bulgaria before you came?
Well, probably I knew a bit more about the old Bulgaria before 1989, because in those days I was dealing with Eastern Europe from a policy perspective. And of course, since 1989, and particularly since Bulgaria joined the European Union, I got to know quite a number of Bulgarian diplomats as colleagues. But really, I didn't know a great deal about the country as such, and that actually is one of the reasons why I asked to come here, because in my life, I always would like to, one of the reasons I joined the Foreign Service was to get to know other places, particularly places that weren't always on the, shall we say, the beaten circuit like London and Paris or whatever, but, which are very attractive, but I really wanted to go somewhere that, to me, would be different.
Did you have a choice?
Yes, I asked for it. There were a couple of other options. One of them would have been in the Baltic states, and one was Luxembourg, which I have been in Luxembourg. Let's say this was, I really felt that this would be a more interesting posting. The political situation obviously can be quite challenging. The country is not always finding it easy to find its way in the European Union. And, you know, this does make it interesting from an observer's perspective. Equally, I hoped that, and I still hope, that we may be able to provide some information as to how we in Ireland met the challenges of when we joined the European Union, and how from being the poorest country in Europe, we are now one of the wealthier countries, even if we have had our difficulties over the last few years. Luckily, those difficulties we are putting them behind us now. But really, for me, it was to learn about somewhere new, that a lot of Irish people know Bulgaria only from the Black Sea, and I wanted to see more than the Black Sea. So I'm very happy here. I came October 12 months, so about 18 months ago, and I've managed to, in those 18 months, to see quite a few places in Bulgaria. I have been very pleasantly surprised by how welcome I have been made feel here. My experience of Bulgaria is that Bulgarians are very welcoming people, very hospitable people, who like to talk about Ireland, even if they don't always know. They probably know, in many cases, much about Ireland as I did about Bulgaria. We are two countries. We're about as nearly as far apart as you can get in terms of location within the European Union. And, I mean, for many Irish people, they come simply to visit the Black Sea coast. I think there are about 3,000 Bulgarian people living in Ireland. And there are some who have lived in Ireland, have come back here, who know about Ireland and who talk about it quite a bit. But I think naturally enough, people know a lot more about their neighbouring countries and maybe and the larger countries in Europe. Obviously.
Do you have any idea how many other Irish people who live in Bulgaria?
That's a good question, actually. We've actually talked about that a few times. In the early years of this century, a lot of Irish people bought property in mainly on the Black Sea coast, and we think the numbers then would have been about 25,000 who lived there at least part of the year. Permanent residents are far fewer, we would say a few hundred. But we still get, I think, we believe we get about 25,000 tourists every year from Ireland.
Tourists? I mean, who live
yes.
here?
Well, the numbers, we reckon probably a lot of them are working in maybe in the IT sector. Mm-hmm. As consultants. Some of them have their own businesses here. Some teach English. There are one or two who work for multinational companies. But I think the number in Sofia is probably less than 50. A small number in the other main cities.
Well, so more or less you didn't know much about Bulgaria because you haven't been here.
I hadn't been here before. Funny enough, it was one of the in one of my previous jobs, I actually visited a lot of countries in Europe, but Bulgaria was one that I hadn't had the opportunity of coming mm-hmm. to. Now, obviously, before I came, I read up on Bulgarian history. I find that there are a lot of similarities, maybe between Bulgaria's past and the Irish experience. We both were occupied by neighbours for a lengthy parts of our history. I feel that the struggle that Bulgaria had in the 1870s to recover its national identity and to recover its national independence had very many parallels with the experience that we had in Ireland in the early part of the 20th century when we, in turn, sought to recover our national identity and we had to fight for our independence as well. I think, for instance, that Vasilevsky is very similar as a national character to Patrick Pearse in our struggle for independence.
Patrick
Pearse. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was the leader of the 1916 uprising, and mm-hmm. he was one of the people executed by the British mm-hmm. afterwards. And in many ways, the execution of the leaders was what really gave momentum to mm-hmm. our national to our struggle for independence. Which we achieved in 1922. So in many ways, what's happening in Bulgaria in the 1870s was repeated or replicated in some way in Ireland in from 1916 to 1922. Obviously, Bulgaria, after its independence, followed quite a different path to mm-hmm. Ireland in the 20s and 30s when, from what I understand, Bulgaria was a major power in the Balkan area. Ireland has never been a major power in any area. We don't aspire to be. For us, our influence is not based on power. It's based on culture. It's based on we're considered by many people to be one of the more influential countries in the world. Somebody recently did a survey, and we came out on top of the pile. In that regard, partly because of our...
The survey was about...
The survey was which country has done most good in the world. Ireland came out now, on top of that, as the number one country, partly because of the influence of many of our people of Irish origin around the world. About mm-hmm. a quarter of the population in the United States is descended from has Irish ancestry somewhere. About a quarter of the population in Australia as well. We have we're a population of about 4.5 million
in Ireland
living in the Republic, and we have about 40 million people holding mm-hmm. Irish passports.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
not only Irish heritage, but passports.
Passports, yes. So in that way, we're a small country in terms of population, but quite large in terms of our influence. Contribution to the world about, say, literature, music, about influence. Obviously, all of these are subjective, but, you know, it's nice occasionally to get a positive.
Besides the historical similarities that you find in our past, Irish past and Bulgarian past, do you find any other similarities?
Bulgaria clearly is proud of its culture, is proud of its heritage, as are we. You're proud of music. You have the traditional gaida. We have bagpipes. One of the things that struck me most when I've arrived, in the time I've been here, is how Bulgarians keep tradition alive compared to many other countries. And we in Ireland, at one stage, we were in danger of losing a lot of our traditions. In recent years, and particularly since we became more self-confident, we have deliberately gone back to find them again. At one stage, I think we, particularly in the end of the 19th century, the first half of the 20th, we found it, in many ways, we wanted to fit in more to blend in more with whether it was in England or whether it was in the United States, and we lost a lot of our tradition. Now, while we also want to obviously maintain links with those of Irish origin in other countries, we are more self-confident, and we have gone back looking for our traditions again.
Did you have any unpleasant surprises when you came in the beginning?
Nothing particularly. I wouldn't say unpleasant. I have to say sometimes I found some of the roads a little bit... well, I've learned that there are... I mean, like Irish people, Bulgarians don't like saying no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's... I think there's a lot of similarities, even though we are from the opposite ends of Europe. I feel quite comfortable here.
So you like it?
I like it. Oh, I like it a lot.
So is there anything that you don't like?
You know what they say about diplomats. As I said, I think some of the driving I've come across, I find it a little bit intimidating.
The drivers?
Yeah. It's coming round a bend on the country road and coming face to face with a car overtaking a truck on a blind bend. It's the first time it happens, it's a little bit of a shock.
We started with this, so you started about the European Union, mm-hmm. and you know that there is a debate, how is it going to be, should it be the same way like now or not, you know, some mm-hmm. people in the UK don't want to be there, and so how do you feel about the European Union future, and what do you think is going to happen?
Well, Ireland is one of the countries which is most supportive of the European Union.
One of the first?
We were one of the first, we were the first wave of newcomers back in 1973, as was the UK, and for us, membership of the European Union has really been a liberating experience in the sense that our influence, the ideas that we want, when we can persuade our fellow European Union members to think the same way, we have so much more weight as a country of 28 than we would have on our own. We think the European Union has been good for Europe. We think it's been good, by the way, for the UK. And for us, we strongly hope that the UK will remain in the European Union. For us, we think it's a European Union without the UK would be a much weaker organisation, more than an organisation, but a much weaker entity. We think it would create certainly a lot of issues for us bilaterally because we are so closely linked together with the UK in many areas. We share a land border with them. For instance, Northern Ireland, we can't see Northern Ireland leaving the European Union. So we certainly hope that we will find a way of ensuring that some of the concerns that the UK has, in our view, are quite legitimate. We hope we will be able to find a way to meet those concerns, but a way of meeting concerns that maintains the essence of the European Union as it is. We think it's a good organisation.
Clearly, it has to stay like this. Should it be increased? To become bigger?
Well, there are a number of countries that are candidates. they have to meet certain criteria. And if and when they meet those criteria, then a decision will be taken. Clearly, there's no doubt that a larger union with more countries is maybe a little bit more difficult to work, but clearly we understand why many countries want to be joined, want to be part of the European Union. It's been good for us, it's been good for Europe, and I certainly don't say, we certainly in Ireland don't believe that we should say no to arbitrarily say, you know, this is because we're going to be, we won't get any further. It will depend on the countries concerned being able to meet the criteria in the first place. And at that stage, of course, decisions will be taken by the European Union as a whole. We in Ireland think that the Lisbon Treaty, which is the framework which exists at the moment, is pretty well right. I mean, there are some countries who talk about making further changes to the treaties. We are not very much in favour of treaty change, not least because in Ireland, every new treaty that the European Union adopts has to be approved by referendum. And it is often quite a job explaining to people why this article is there or that article is there.
So you mean that you make referendum for everything in Ireland?
No, not for everything, but for treaty change. The last one was in... The last referendum we had was in 2008... 2009.
For what?
On the Lisbon Treaty. In Ireland, we have to change the constitution to enable us specifically to accept them. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can change the constitution in Ireland is by referendum. So that means, effectively, each treaty change has to be approved by referendum in Ireland.
How old is the Irish constitution?
We adopted our current constitution in 1937. And there were relatively few changes until 1972, there were very few changes. In 1972, we had a referendum to enable us to join the European Union. Well, it was then the European Economic Community at the time. We had a few years ago, we had a referendum to remove the death penalty from the Constitution. Mm-hmm. We'll have a referendum. We will have a referendum in May. So we've had, I think, in the region of approximately 40 amendments to the Constitution mm-hmm. over the years. We do love democracy, but I have to say, the referenda also can be quite a blunt instrument.
About the situation with Bulgaria and Romania in Schengen, are you going to have the same
No, we're not in Schengen.
But you don't want to be.
We took a decision that we not to join Schengen. We have a common travel area with the United Kingdom. Certainly there are times when it would be maybe easier to travel if we were in Schengen, but the overall balance of conveniences. We have an arrangement with the United Kingdom. We have what we call a common travel area, which is similar to Schengen and being a common travel area. Ours is smaller, but we, for a number of reasons, we would not like to be in Schengen without, if Britain were not in Schengen, because we would not wish to create a barrier to travel between Northern Ireland and the Republic.